Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. This is quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show, and I think maybe one of our best segments that we do. This is Ask Greg. It's brought to you by TailgateWine.com. If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that Penn State fan in your life, you got to start at TailgateWine.com, where they have a blue and white wine gift box. They have some wine and barbecue packages with sauces and rubs as well. Check all of it out at TailgateWine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. Dustin Hockensmith here. Greg Pickle is answering your questions, and TailgateWine.com is coming through with a bottle of tailgate wine for what Greg deems is the best question of the day. So there's plenty of incentive there to download the Keystone Sports app if you haven't already. You can use the Ask Greg field to ask a question that comes to Penn State football, Big Ten football, recruiting, whatever you want to ask. If Greg thinks it's a good question, you could be on your way to getting drunk. Can I say that on the air? Getting drunk?
Well, you just did, so I guess we can go with it.
All right. Our sensor was asleep at the wheel there.
That's right. It's no driving.
While you're on the Keystone Sports app, be sure you get involved in the GoPSURV.com drawing. We're giving away an RV for the Blue-White game in April. You have to have your entry in by March 12th. We're drawing it on March 14th. The entry is super simple. Just name and email address. We've got a bunch of them in there. So be sure to throw your hat in the ring as well if you haven't already. So let's get to your questions now. Greg, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Born ready, Greg is. Steve from Painted Post, New York. There's not going to be a better town name for sure in this segment than Painted Post. Says, Greg, I'll ask you, since Ross is seldom in. Says, just kidding, but he's not just kidding, Ross. Where have you been? Which coach has the greatest impact in 2019? New coaches, Jared Parker or Joe Lohrig, and why? Said, great show. Really enjoy. So
it's a strong one out of the gate.
Yeah, and two positions at wide receiver where Jared Parker and Lohrig comes in to coach the special teams. Two positions where they could probably use an impact in 2019.
Yeah, so I guess there's two ways of answering this question. The first one would be to dissect which position group will be better in 2019, and the second one is I think they'll both be better. So that allows me to waffle a little bit. But in terms of the one that needs to make the bigger impact, I don't know about you, Dustin. I think it's clearly the special teams. I mean, the receivers group is talented, and you can blame David Corley for a lot of things, but I did always find it a little humorous that many wanted to blame him for the receivers that struggled, but the Jahan Dotsons and KJ Hamlers, you know, he got no credit for it, which, again, if he's the reason that all these other guys are struggling, then he also has to get at least some of the credit and be part of the reason why some of these other guys are succeeding. So the talent is there. A fresh face will definitely help. There's no doubt about that. But to me, it's clearly the special teams. Penn State has a guy who could be an All-American punter in Blake Gilligan that was not consistent in 2018. The kicking game was very hit or miss in 2018, and the coverage and return teams were not good and failed at key points. So I think it's Lohrig, and I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah, it's interesting because on one hand, the wide receivers are in better position to scoop up more glory because if they play really good football and there's a you know, cohesiveness with a new quarterback and they're productive, then it's going to be easy to go side by side. But on the other hand, with special teams, if they're making plays that don't lose football games, that's being ahead of the game. And so Lohrig has a chance. Both of them have a chance to make an impact. I think I tend to agree with you. As a follow-up question to that, Michael from Corning, New York, said this past year the NCAA added a 10th coach and Penn State brought in a dedicated special teams coach in Phil Galliano. Yet special teams were worse year over year. Was the blame rightfully on Galliano, or was there just too much on the plate for one coach? So many different things involved in special teams. Should the same coach really be coaching the kickers and gunners and the returners? How should Penn State address this going forward?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of history over football. The history of football that says having one special teams coordinator for all of those roles is an easy way to be successful. I get the question. I mean, it's a fair point. But to me, there's enough. So, I mean, look, Josh Gattis and Charles Huff split responsibilities at one point at Penn State, and that worked out pretty well. But I don't think like I said, there's a Joe Lurig is a great example of being able to coach really good special teams across the board at a high level. So I don't necessarily think that you need one guy for this and one guy for that. I just don't think it works out that way. They don't practice special teams as much as many people think, you know, a couple minutes a day, maybe one day is a little bit more special teams oriented than most. But at the end of the day, I think the biggest problem Penn State had special teams wise was there was just for whatever reason, execution was a problem. And they had a lot of young guys playing on special teams. And I get that that was part of it. But ultimately, when you fail in as many ways as Penn State failed, there's a fundamental problem here that they had to address. And with Phil Galliano leaving and Joe Lurig coming in, it looks at least on the surface like they did.
It wasn't that long ago where we were kind of having the debate, why can't you have somebody who's just focuses on special teams? And so now you have the debate. Like, I know that those are different components completely.
Yeah.
But if your focus is special teams, I feel like you should be able to kind of master those areas, because that's your job. It used to be at Penn State where position coaches were sharing in the duties and they would divvy those up. And I just don't think that that's the best approach either. I get the essence of the question, but I think we've moved in college football that this is just kind of where coaching staffs have gone with it, right?
They're, right.
You have one dedicated special teams coach.
Yeah, and that guy will typically help out with some other positions as well. So, you know, with Joe Lurig, he has mostly a defensive background. Phil Galliano was, of course, the assistant defensive line coach. So it doesn't have to be a guy like that. It doesn't have to be a defensive helper. It could be an offensive helper as well. But yeah, typically we've seen that work pretty well across the country.
And we don't really know how practices function. Like, you guys show up, they have an open portion to the media where they're committed, not really showing you guys much of anything. So we don't know how special teams runs. Like, you could have your special teams coordinator calling on your cornerbacks coach to work on fair catches, right?
Right.
You could kind of divvy up those responsibilities. They just don't really have that under their title.
Exactly.
So that's possible. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg, your Penn State football and recruiting questions. That's brought to you by TailgateWine.com. Greg will be giving away a bottle of wine to the best question at the end of this segment. So be sure in the future, download the Keystone Sports app, get your questions in. Brad from Arlington, Virginia wonders, if Lamont Wade doesn't win the starting safety job, could he pretty quickly move back to corner? Seems like Penn State's depth there is worse than at safety, plus Reed and Kasher Fields could both be gone after next season. It's almost a complete opposite point that I've made several times this week.
Right.
I felt like depth at cornerback was much better than safety.
Yeah, I mean, so I think sometimes we look at this year's roster and say, well, this guy could leave, that guy could leave, this guy could leave. That's fine, but we're talking about depth for this year, not depth for next year after those guys leave. So this year I think it's fine. Could it get tricky? Yeah, and you know what? Every position's like that, Dustin. Every position, you get one or two guys that unexpectedly leave. You get one or two guys that unexpectedly, you know, get hurt or decide to give up football or whatever, and suddenly the numbers you thought were great aren't anymore. And that's just the reality of, you know, the current situation that every school is in now, that transfers have become a little bit more common. And now that, you know, more guys are going to seek the grad transfer opportunity to get more playing time or get on the field. So there's no doubt about it.
There is a very thin line between not having enough depth and having too much depth. You know, roster allocation is a constant puzzle that has to be put together again and again and again based on all these variables. So they will make decisions based on the future and where their assets, to put it crudely maybe, are positioned. And you don't want to have 14 of your scholarships gobbled up at the cornerback position. And I think one of the reasons they've really hammered the cornerback position in recruiting is because there's a pretty natural pipeline to go from cornerback to safety, where the pipeline isn't quite the same going from safety to cornerback.
Right.
I think they'd rather have a guy, and I think there's at least one in the 19 class, I've said it again and again and again, that moves from cornerback to safety, and I think that's a natural transition. I don't think there's any chance that Lamont Wade comes back to cornerback.
Agreed.
I think he's knocking on the door of a starting job. You're not going to jerk guys around like that. Even guys that have moved, it's very rare that they move multiple times. Koa Farmer was the only really one that I can think of, right? The only high-profile example,
right,
going from linebacker to safety to linebacker.
Yeah, he's one of the only ones I can think of as well.
So I don't think there's much of a chance there, Brad. Fair question, though. And similar question here, AJ from Los Angeles. I've listened to you guys speak about tweeners and not finding a role in Happy Valley, thus high numbers in the transfer portal. How much of the lack of development can be attributed to coaching and not properly utilizing these guys that are so highly recruited?
Yeah.
The transfer portal, from what I've seen, by the way, just my two cents, is it has very little to do with tweeners and more to do with just natural opportunity doesn't knock for some guys as quick as others.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Tweeners certainly play a role. There's no question that, you know, some guys are just a little bit further down the depth chart than they want to be, and sometimes that's because a guy comes in and he may be a linebacker or a defensive tackle or a safety or, you know, this, that, or the other thing, and they pick a position for him. It doesn't work. Maybe they move him to another one. Can't put the weight on or lose the weight either way, and all those things, you know, have now added up to the point where he you know, looks for a transfer, either as a grad transfer or as someone that will have to sit out a year, barring the ability to get an immediate eligibility waiver. So yeah, I think certainly tweeners are a part of it, but you're right, you look at that grad transfer portal, there are guys in there for so many different reasons. You know, you have guys that just need a fresh start, you have guys that are looking to play more, you have guys that, you know, think that the depth chart somewhere else might be better for them to be in a rotation, even if not a starter. I mean, every situation is unique and different. Some guys just don't like the school they're at and they want to go to another one. I mean, it certainly goes well beyond just guys that can't find a home to play.
And I really feel like Penn State has moved a little bit away from getting linebackers who aren't really linebackers. They're getting guys who are athletic now, but who are actually linebackers. And I thought that I don't know whether that was out of necessity or whether they thought things were going to develop a certain way. That's the only area where I felt like tweeners have been a little bit of a problem. And you can look at, you know, a few different examples. Braylon Faison-Walden, Braylon Franklin are part of this portal discussion, I guess. Didn't really pan out to an extent.
Right.
One more quick question. Jason from Cincinnati, born and raised in Elizabethtown. He said, typically you, Bob, and Ross have close to the same views and opinions on recruits. He's noticed the last several weeks that you seem to be very high on Noah Cain, while Bob and Ross don't sound very impressed with him. I don't recall any recent recruits that had this much discrepancy. Is there something that makes Noah harder to evaluate?
I don't necessarily think so. I just think it's a matter of what you want to find, what you're looking for in a guy. To me, I watch Cain and I just really think all the things that he does well will work in Penn State's offense, will work behind Ricky Slade or in tandem with Ricky Slade. And Devin Ford is the same way. I think Noah Cain has an advantage because he's on campus early. And, you know, maybe he's not exactly the prototypical highs and height and weight that you look for with a running back out of high school. But I don't know. There's just something about him when I watch him play and I watch him run that makes me think this guy is going to be extremely talented, very good and impact player at Penn State. Devin Ford can be as well. It just, you know, like I said, Cain's on campus, so I think I give him the nod.
Physical and relentless. I mean, I think that Penn State's running back depth chart needed that. Who had the best question?
First one, a Corley Parker question.
Steve from Painted Post, New York. Good question. Which new assistant is going to make the biggest impact? All right, we're moving on. We got one more segment to go here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking Penn State wrestling right after this.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.